Welcome to Journal Club for October 15th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In fall of 2021, after nearly 6 months in the halls of Congress, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act was finally signed into law. This package, also known as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, allocated $1.2 trillion of funding, with $65 billion of that going specifically towards modernizing America's power grid. Of that $65 billion, around $13 billion, 20%, was set aside just specifically for power grid security. That's $13 billion to secure a system that, if you're like me, you might have thought was already secure. Turns out, we were wrong. Not only is the grid vulnerable to a wide range of attacks from large state actors, but as the grid modernizes into a smart grid, the attack surface actually grows. And not just in terms of more vulnerabilities, the class of actors who are capable of exploiting those vulnerabilities expands as well. The older grid wasn't exactly secure, but you did need significant resources to mount an attack against it. In the new grid, much smaller adversaries with far fewer resources can create real chaos that can cause real damage. In today's paper, the authors highlight two areas of that new infrastructure that need urgent attention: distributed energy resources, DERs, like Tesla Powerwalls, and the transactive energy market, TEM. They argue that if DERs were hijacked and used in concert, they could launch a direct load altering attack against the grid, severely disrupting or even collapsing the system's ability to respond to demand. At the same time, the TEM, which was designed to be real-time responsive, might actually be quite vulnerable to a false data injection attack, its real-time responsiveness being used against it to cripple its ability to make markets. More on that later. This kind of research is so important, so critical to our infrastructure, that not only is $13 billion going into this field, but this particular paper's major funder is actually NASA. That's how important it is. We're going to get into the attack vectors as well as the mitigation techniques that these authors invented shortly, but first, let's take a step back and try to wrap our heads around what a smart grid is. Okay, think about this. Let's say you live in an area with a smart grid, and you have something that needs power, a desk lamp. You plug it in the wall, electricity flows into the device, and you're metered for the usage. Your next bill will reflect the fact that you plugged in that lamp and bought that electricity. But now, let's say you have something that generates power. It could be a solar panel, it could be a windmill, it could be a hamster on a wheel strapped to a generator, doesn't matter. You could similarly plug that thing into the same socket that you would have plugged that lamp into, and instead of power flowing into the device, power will go out from that device into the outlet and backfeed into the grid, essentially selling the power back to the grid. And now, your bill at the end of the month will reflect not only the times when you purchased power, but the credits you got for the electricity you sold back. At the moment you sold the electricity, it could have been used for anything. It could have gone across town to power a TV, or it could have gone right to your next door neighbor to charge their car. Their car, by the way, might buy your electricity right now because it's cheap, store it, and then sell it back to the grid later when it's in short supply and prices are higher. So step back and think for a second about how many components and systems there have to be and how much data needs to be processed in real time all the time for what I just described to be a thing. It's not the power grid we all grew up with, which looks quaint and simple by comparison. That was unidirectional. Power comes from the plants to the houses and the businesses and the streetlights, etc. Everybody gets charged. It was command and control. It was top down. This new grid is the opposite. There are still major power generating entities like power plants, but there are also all these nodes in the system that are not passive. They could be storage devices for power, or generators of power. Everything becomes more complex, and the system itself needs to be able to adapt to whatever any node is doing. Structurally, you can think of five major pieces of this new system. DERs, the distributed energy resources. These are the myriad smaller energy sources and storage devices that we talked about earlier. AMI, the advanced metering infrastructure. These are smart meters that provide real-time data for both consumers and the grid operators. SCADA, the supervisory control and data acquisition systems. These are the real-time analytics of the larger pieces of the infrastructure, the substations, the buses, the power plants. communication networks. Remember that the power flowing from one piece of the system to another does not magically carry data with it. Pipes need to exist for the information to flow around the system in concert with the energy. And energy management systems. This is all the business logic around energy generation, distribution, consumption. This EMS is responsible for grid stability and optimizing towards whatever goal the system has. And that's the smart grid in a nutshell. So now let's get back to the attack vectors. Let's start with false data injection, FDI attack. Here, an attacker manipulates the data sent from sensors and meters to the AMI and SCADA. When they do this, when they inject false information like altered voltage or power flow readings, the system reacts as if that data was real. Because remember, the actual power flow is not happening in the same pipes as the data. So it doesn't actually matter that your hamster on the wheel isn't actually generating the power of the sun. If you hack into the meter and get it to lie for you and say that he is, the rest of the system will believe you and respond accordingly. So in that example, my local power plant might say, "Guys, we don't need to be generating any power right now. Jerry the hamster over on Main Street is powering the whole neighborhood. We can wind down." And that's just the havoc that one component can wreak. When hacked components start acting together in concert, then an FDI attack can be extremely difficult to remedy. Then there's the direct load altering attack, DLAA. Load in this context refers to demand, not supply. When you turn a light switch off, you've altered the load, but in a small way that the system can handle. But if a big actor is controlling a large number of power-hungry devices, it can get them to act in concert to make sudden major changes to demand. And it's those big shocks to the system that can cause real damage. We take for granted that the electricity we get out of the outlet is smooth and stable. That's not a given. That's the result of work that is happening behind the scenes all the time to balance supply and demand, smooth out voltage, and stabilize frequencies. It's not easy, and a sudden change like a DLAA attack throws everything off and can cause the system equivalent of a blown fuse or tripped circuit breaker, except that it can be a cascading failure that takes whole regions offline. In this paper, the authors are talking about a hybrid attack that combines the worst of FDI and DLAA. In this scenario, the attacker disrupts the communication between the DERs and the metering infrastructure. So now the grid is flying blind. It doesn't have good data about what is happening on the ground. Then the attacker would launch the direct load attack. The key here is that a traditional direct load attack needs to be huge to have any meaningful effect, because the system can fight it off. It can step in to balance things out. All the DERs and the other components are like an immune system that fight off this kind of threat. But with the DERs either offline or purposefully giving the wrong data to the system, a much smaller attack can be effective because the immune system can't respond to it. So how do you defend against something like that? The authors propose a multi-layered solution that involves decentralized decision-making and reinforcement learning. First, they developed a hierarchical load adjustment framework. Think of it like a series of substations that receive real-time data about the grid's actual condition and decide what needs to be done to mitigate. Then, they send these instructions all over the grid through an alternative security emergency communication channel to bypass any compromised systems. So, it's a double check on the system in real time to confirm that everything is working and as it should be. The data flowing through the system matches up with the power, everything is fine. But then when things are not fine, it notices and tells all the components in the affected area, "Hey everyone, something is happening, this is what we planned for. Go follow the plan." And that's where the algorithms and game theory come in. The substations are going to do what they can to shed load or whatever other mitigation techniques they can perform, but the households will also start acting independently. This is called a zero trust model. Everyone assumes that all the data and information they're getting is wrong and nobody can be trusted, and they just do their own thing. They use their own local data to make decisions. The authors call this total strategy MFDDPG, Mean Field Deep Deterministic Policy Gradients. This is a mashup of two different things from two different disciplines. DTPG is a reinforcement learning algorithm. It's actor-critic, so there's an actor who follows a policy and then a critic who evaluates it and makes adjustments. Mean Field is from game theory. It's a mathematical framework for how individuals in a group can take isolated actions based on the local information they have available that collectively move the group towards a shared goal. So mean field and DTPG combine to make a behavioral, mathematical, and algorithmic decision-making system where each individual is continually refining their own policy to meet the collective needs of the group. To test this, the authors simulated a hybrid attack on the IEEE 39 bus system. The 39 bus system is a simplified model of the New England power grid, and it's a standard model used for case studies in power systems research like this. They simulated the attack, then used the model to evaluate how well the solution could stabilize the grid in response to the attack. So, how quickly it recovered, how much load the system needed to shed to prevent destabilization, etc. The results were promising. Their system was able to effectively minimize the load shedding while restoring order. What can we take away from this paper? The key here is that the researchers effectively combined game theory with reinforcement learning to solve a critical problem. This approach shows that combining strategic mathematical models with adaptive algorithms, blending theory with practice, can offer scalable solutions for complex real-world problems. If you'd like to dive deeper on the algorithms they used or view the diagrams or formulas, I'd recommend downloading the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.